106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Come on, oh, baby, don't you wanna go? Come on.
Hempabala with you, Radio 720, WGN. Chicago's one and only female mayor, Jane Byrne, passed away on Friday, 81 years old. She was in hospice. And one of her greatest legacies will be that she said yes when the Blues Brothers came calling. I know there were a lot of other things she did for the city, good and bad, in her one-term tenure as mayor, including Chicago Fest, which was already existed. She actually tried to get canceled when she first took office. When people fought back on that, she renamed it Jane Byrne's Chicago Fest. And she also pushed a lot of other fests and festivals and a lot of the arts. And Christopher Borelli from the Chicago Tribune wrote a piece back in 2010 on the 30th anniversary of the Blues Brothers. It'll be the 35th anniversary this coming year in 2015. But talking about, you know, at the time, Chicago's film office was just a little piece of the press events office of the mayor's office. It was nothing. Films were not allowed to be made in Chicago. The first Mayor Daley did not allow anything to happen here. So nobody made movies here. The story starts. John Belushi walked into Jane Byrne's office, sweat beading on his forehead. Dan Aykroyd waited outside the door. He gave Belushi, a Wheaton native, the breathing room to appeal to the mayor, hat in hand, local boy to local girl. Belushi was nervous. Byrne expected him to be. She sat at her desk, stone-faced and silent, she recalled, offering no relief. Belushi and Aykroyd wanted to shoot a movie in Chicago, but as everyone knew, Chicago government wasn't exactly amenable to movie production. There wasn't an official policy or anything. Movies did shoot here. Brian De Palma shot The Fury a year earlier. A lot of commercials were shot here. There was even a cottage porn industry in River North. But the cooperation needed for a large-scale Hollywood production, the kind Belushi, Aykroyd, and director John Landis had in mind, only bigger, was out of the question. It had been for years. It was 1979, and Byrne had just started her term. Mayor Richard J. Daley, the reason movie studios usually didn't consider Chicago a viable location, had died 3 years earlier. Byrne remembered that Belushi, quote, looked kind of fat, a sweaty guy already, but he wore a suit jacket, and I thought he looked sick, to be honest, to the point that his hair was getting wet. I was a fan of his, but of course I wasn't going to say this right away. So for a laugh, she let him drown. She thought it would be funnier if she acted, quote, like the first Daley, nodding like Buddha. I know how Chicago feels about movies, the comedian said to the mayor. Byrne nodded. Belushi said the studio would like to donate some money to Chicago orphanages in lieu of throwing a big, expensive premiere. How much money, she asked. He said $200,000. She nodded again. And so he kept talking, Byrne recalled. Finally, I just said fine, but he kept going. So again, I said, look, I said fine. He said, wait, we also want to drive a car through the lobby of Daley Plaza, right through the window. I remember what was in my mind as he said it. I had the whole 11th Ward against me anyway, and most of Daley's people against me. They owned this city for years, so when Belushi asked me to drive a car through Daley Plaza, the only thing I could say was, be my guest. He said, we'll have it like new by the morning. I said, look, I told you yes. And that's how they got my blessing. And that, more or less, is how Chicago became a regular location for movie production. Think about how many movies have been shot here in the last 20 years. An insane amount. Between Batman movies, Transformers movies, all the time things going on here back and forth. And there was nothing being filmed here before the Blues Brothers got that permission. On June 16th, 1980, the Blues Brothers premiered. Keeping with Belushi's promise to eschew a flashy debut, it screened in Norwich for local crew and politicians only. The musical comedy action film about two bluesmen on the run opened nationally a few days later. Film critic Gene Siskel wrote in his 4-star review in the Tribune, it is, quote, the best movie ever made in Chicago. I think that's got to still hold true, right? Does anybody want to say, nope, there's a better movie in Chicago? If you count Chicago as a character in the movie, and clearly in the Blues Brothers, Chicago is a character in the movie, right? 312-981-7200 if you want to comment or text. The Blues Brothers have Jake, Elwood Blues, and Chicago. as the stars of the movie, and a lot of other stars in that movie. That's an incredible movie. And if you watch it today, it's still a great movie, well written, well acted, great performances, and such great shots of lost Chicago, because it was 1980 Chicago before a lot of other stuff got built and cleaned up and all these things. You see this lost part of Chicago, Maxwell Street and things like that. It's gorgeous.
It made that mall at Harvey like legendary.
Yeah.
That would have been, it just would have been an empty, you know, failed mall.
Well, and it,
then they drove a car through it and, you know, it's on film forever.
Yeah. And did that finally get torn down? I want to say at least 5 years ago, that thing was still standing, right?
Yeah. I remember it was, it's been standing as I, like, since I've been an adult. I don't know if they've torn it down. I haven't really been paying attention in a couple of years, but.
Yeah. We got to check on that.
Is that the Ford City Mall you're talking about?
I think it was called the Dixie Mall. It's in Harvey,
okay.
Or it was.
Right.
Double check that, Dan. Dan's going to look that up, and we'll keep talking about the movie. The Blues Brothers was conceived as a love letter to the city, John Landis said, the director. Chicago might not have had much of a film industry, or rather it might have taken longer to develop. They've had 900 films. So this was back in 2010 when Christopher wrote this. We might not have had the 900 film and TV productions that have shot in Chicago since 1980, spending an estimated $1 billion, according to the Chicago Film Office. Before 1980, if you take out the 1910s and 20s, when there was a silent film industry in Chicago, since the 20s and before 80, fewer than 100 features had been shot in Chicago. Since 1980 to 2010, in those 30 years, over 900. And the thing about this, stuff still shot here all the time. Batman, Superman has got closures tonight, right? And they've been here for the last week or so shooting stuff. Dan Aykroyd said, I still hear from people who say they were nine, but they were in the background of this or that scene. And you know what I tell people? You know the four stars on the Chicago flag? I tell them the stars represent the Chicago Fire, the city's founding, the First Daily, and the Blues Brothers. It closed the Lakeshore Drive. A car was dropped from 1,000 feet. A mall was demolished. John Landis, the director, said, I remember the 1968 Democratic Convention, and here we are in 1979 getting permission on outrageous requests. Shut down streets? Yes. Allow 90-mile-an-hour car crashes with 50 vehicles? Yes. How do you propose doing this, they asked. Weekend mornings, we said. Okay. That's on the weekend? All right, that's good. We can do that. Mark Hogan, who served as an electrician for production of the film, said, I remember old-timers thoroughly amazed at what the city was allowing, because Daly wouldn't have closed a lane of traffic for a film, and now they had entire streets closed. All the things Chicago has to make a movie, like crews of people who know what they are doing, they just didn't exist at the time. In fact, the Chicago Film Office was a microscopic part of the mayor's press office. Didn't establish itself until the Blues Brothers opened up the city of Chicago for movie production. 312-981-7200 if you have a comment on the Blues Brothers or other films shot here in Chicago. I think at the same time Steve McQueen was shooting, what was the movie where Steve McQueen drives a car out of the Marina City Towers? That's going on at the same time. So these producers in LA got to be like, wait a minute, Chicago, we can do stuff there now. That's incredible. And now it's become quite an industry for us. 312-981-7200, Matt Bubala with you, Radio 720 WGN.
Rawhide and eight.
Move them on. Hit them up. Move them on. Rawhide.
Matt Bubala with you, Radio 720 WGN, celebrating the legacy of the Blues Brothers and Jane Byrne. She was the mayor who allowed it to happen and allowed Chicago to have a film industry again. Some texts have poured in at 312-981-7200. The 773 says, now you remember the Pope came not that long after, I believe, the Blues Brothers was filmed. When did the Pope come? 1980 or 81, something like that. 773 writes, we were driving down Lakeshore Drive to go to Grant Park to see where the Pope was going to say Mass. The police stopped traffic temporarily. We asked why, or are they filming some movie? At that point, a car fell from the helicopter. We were thinking, boy, the security for the Pope is awesome. car dropped 1,000 feet in the air. You remember that scene? Debbie texts, I grew up in Chicago. In 1976, I wanted to study filmmaking in college. I was told that if I wanted to make a living, I would need to move to New York or California. Yep, Debbie, these days you could make a living here in Chicago. 773 says The Untouchables was a pretty good Chicago movie, too. That is true. The Kevin Costner, Sean Connery Untouchables was very good. 630 says, didn't Roger Ebert put it on his 10 worst list for movies? The mall was Dixie Square. It was demolished 2 years ago. And I looked up Roger Ebert's review. Dan, is that right? Was it Dixie Mall? Dixie Square Mall? Was that what it was called?
Yeah, Dixie Square demolished. The final part came down in May 2012, it looks like.
So it just came down a couple of years. Isn't that amazing? It was that long ago, and that thing has been sitting there abandoned for that long. So Roger Ebert does have, on RogerEbert.com, you can read all of his movie reviews. And he gave it 3 stars at the time. So I don't know that it was on his 10 worst list, because it's a pretty good review. It ends with, and you can read the whole review at RogerEbert.com, but he ends his review with, what's a little startling about this movie is that all of this works. The Blues Brothers cost untold millions of dollars and kept threatening to grow completely out of control. But director John Landis has somehow pulled it together with a good deal of help from the strongly defined personalities of the title characters. Belushi and Aykroyd come over as hard-boiled city guys, total cynics with a worldview of sublime simplicity, and that all fits perfectly with the movie's other parts. There's even room in the midst of the carnage and mayhem for a surprising amount of grace, humor, and whimsy. So overall, I think that was actually a very nice review from Roger Ebert. So I think he liked it and had to have liked how great Chicago looked in that movie. Texter from 708 says, can you imagine if Walenda wanted to cross the river during the old Daly era? That never would have happened during the, I don't know if that would have happened during the most recent Daly era. I was surprised that they let Nick Walenda do that. What if he would have fallen? I mean, listen, it ended up being a beautiful commercial for Chicago, because for an hour and a half, we got to watch and talk to this guy and see how he practiced with these beautiful, stunning nighttime skyline shots of Chicago. So it looked great. But if he falls and splats, that would look really bad on the city, wouldn't it? And we would have had all these calls for, what are they doing, allowing this guy to do that? And that looks terrible. And all these kids saw this. And that's, you know, people be coming to Chicago to see where Walenda hit the ground. That would have been a terrible, terrible thing. So I was stunned that they're like, yeah, you could do that. That's fine. I mean, it worked out good. We're glad he made it. Texter from 773 says, John Candy, Only the Lonely, picnic scene in Old Comiskey Park before they tore it down. That is a good Chicago movie. It's no Blues Brothers, but that is a good Chicago movie. I will agree with that. Only the Lonely. If you haven't seen it, John Candy and Ally Sheedy. It's a very cool movie. Joel's on 720 WGN. Good morning, Joel. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. What's your, you got an idea for a good Chicago-based film?
Well, I wanted to combine the two topics with the creepy and Chicago movies.
Was there a scary movie based in Chicago?
Well, Divergent. It's kind of creepy seeing the skyline all tore up after the Great War or whatever.
Yeah, you know, well, that's a future, you know, so that's a young adult novel. I know my son, my 13-year-old has read the book, and we actually bought the DVD. We went on a road trip this summer, and the DVD was cheap. We thought, oh, we'll watch this. We still haven't watched it yet. We have it. And I know that that's in the future, and Chicago is pretty destroyed, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And the book was as good as the movie, or the movie was as good as the book, I guess, is how you would say that.
Okay.
In my opinion, but... Yeah, I thought, but when you were talking Chicago movies, I was like, that was one that I hadn't seen too long ago. I was like, that was a creepy scene, yeah. And everything. So.
And that's, I know that's a series of books, and I haven't read them. Do you know, Joel, because I know they're going to make more of those movies, will they also be set in Chicago?
At the end of the book and at the end of the movie, they were leaving Chicago, so I don't think so.
Ah, okay. All right, interesting. All right. So we'll add Divergent to the list. Thanks very much, Joel. Have a great morning.
All right.
All right, sir.
Yeah, hey, hang on a second.
I wanted to
tell you that whenever you substitute or whatever, I always enjoy listening to your show. You're always pretty entertaining for me. Thanks.
I appreciate that, Joel. Thanks so much, buddy. Have a great day.
Bye.
All right, sir. So Divergent, there's another one. I have not seen Divergent as of yet, but the DVD is sitting there at home. We'll have to watch that pretty soon. But I know that's set in the future, because I think they climbed the Ferris wheel at Navy Pier. It's all torn up, something like that. We'll watch that. So this article by Christopher Borelli about the Blues Brothers being made here, they talk about how they were begging directors, the two people like in the Chicago film office at the time would have to fly out to L.A. and try to pitch people on coming to Chicago, and they'd be like, you can't do anything there, and you know, there's no production crew, there's nobody to hire there, there was no way to do it. So the Blues Brothers created a movie industry in Chicago. When production reached Daley Plaza, a sequence shot over Labor Day weekend requiring tanks, helicopters, several hundred actors, and costing $3.5 million. Think about that. In 1980, $3.5 million to shoot the Daley Plaza scene. The movie ended up costing $32 million in 1980. So that's what? I'm assuming that's like a $100 million production today. They said the average production budget for a movie at the time was $8 million. And this movie ended up costing $32 million. Think about how out of control that sounds. Yeah, we'll you know, we're going to go over, we'll budget $12 million for it. And it was $32 million. You know, there had to be some really scared studio executives at the time that were okaying these budgets. And I don't even know what it ended up making. Was it a big success at the box office at the time?
Yeah, it looks like it made about $115,000 or $115 million at the box office.
Well, that had to be huge in 1980.
Aykroyd and Belushi were on top of the world at that time, I think,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they had to be after that. It cost $3.5 million, according to news reports at the time. John Landis, the director, found himself without permission from Cook County commissioners to shoot in the old Cook County building. So he said he visited Sidney Korshak, a powerful Chicago lawyer and fixer with mob ties, who died in 1996. Within 24 hours, I got a call and we were all set, Landis said. As for Belushi, driving through the corner windows of the Richard J. Daley Center, Julie Chandler was location manager and recalled a $17,000 bill to replace the glass. We couldn't get anybody to come out because they would not work Labor Day. They would only come out at 5 a.m. on Tuesday morning. By the time production wrapped in October, word had made it to Hollywood about the Blues Brothers shoot. Salinger said, and three more movies began filming here. Steve McQueen's The Hunter. I think that's the one where he drives out of Marina City Towers. Steve McQueen's The Hunter. My Bodyguard with Matt Dillon. That's a great movie. Matt Dillon's in My Bodyguard. So is Matt Dillon the bully? Because there's some huge guy who's the bodyguard and then a scrawny kid. Dan, look up My Bodyguard, would you? And Robert Redford's Ordinary People, though the latter filmed mostly on the North Shore. While Landis was crashing Chicago police cars along Lower Wacker Drive, Universal, which made the film, bought more than 60 of the vehicles. The Hunter was driving a car off the Marina Towers into the Chicago River. Decades later, Moskal said it's not unusual for his office to get calls from producers asking if Chicago has anything they can destroy. A question he ties to 1979. But today I would hate to have the reputation as a place where filmmakers can do anything. Within reason, maybe, he said. On the other hand, flip a truck end over end down LaSalle, as in The Dark Knight, that sends a particular message. As does a 30% tax credit for production in Illinois enacted in 2008. Now, I don't know if that still exists. I know there was that was ending and there was some debate over it. That helped bring a lot of people in. Michigan offered a 42% credit. New York offers a 35% credit. They said back in 79, the only thing Chicago had to offer was the ability to try and cut red tape. Few claim the Blues Brothers changed filmmaking here overnight. Retired casting director Alderman, for instance, pointed out that the industry has gone through dramatic swings, generating $24 million in 2003 and $155 million in 2007. But few debate that those 14 weeks of production here in 1979 were the turning point. Indeed, to Byrne, the Blues Brothers should be remembered as no less than the dawn of contemporary Chicago, part of one big push to remind people how attractive their city was. She said, I didn't see it any different from Sidewalk Dining or Taste of Chicago, both of which started during her term. Matt Bubala with you on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200, reliving the Blues Brothers via Jane Byrne, our beloved mayor. I don't know if she was beloved at the time, but she sure has gotten a lot of love in the last year. Jane Byrne passed away at the age of 81 on Friday.